Welcome to the Solid Man Podcast. I'm your host, Ken Curry, licensed marriage and family therapist. SolidMan.com is an ongoing conversation designed to empower men to master the art of being a man. All right, here we go on lesson... this is the Solid Man Competency number 5. So the fifth Solid Man Competency is live in tension. So living in tension is a really, really significant part of this. So first, let me just kind of say the whole idea of tension is from Merriam-Webster. The first thing they say is it's inner striving or unrest or an imbalance, often with physiological indication of emotion. So the physiological indication of emotion would be something like, that's something that's physical, so it'd be something like your chest kind of feeling tight. Or you would have, your hair on the back of your neck stand up. Or maybe your hands, your palms might sweat. Something like that. You just feel this tension. You feel this intensity going on. And so oftentimes it comes with a physical indication, which is pretty significant because it's a big deal to be able to navigate that for sure. The other thing that this definition says, it's a state of latent hostility or opposition between individuals or groups. So it's kind of this state of latent hostility. So the latent means it's just sitting there under the surface, kind of dormant, kind of something's brewing, something's kind of working its way up through the system, and it's tension. It just kind of is growing, and it's potential hostility, potential conflict. Then another part is the whole idea of the stress resulting in the elongation of an elastic body. And I laughed when I saw this part of the definition, because it's like, if you remember good old Stretch Armstrong when you were a kid, it might be something because I'm a little older that was a toy that we had. But it was this guy that you would just stretch, and his arms would go long and his legs, and you'd try to break him. And I think we've broken a few of those in the past, really bothered a couple of my friends when we would do that. But it was stretching something really, really significantly, causing tension. So stress is another word that's there for tension. So that's kind of the definition. And so when you're in tension, you let the tension stay there, or you embrace tension. And embracing tension is a really, really big part of this journey of a man. As you will read further, if you read in pillar number 4, Mastering Your Masculinity, you're going to find out in my map of masculinity, tension is actually at the very center as a significant context for us living out our masculinity. So being a masculine being, I think, actually requires that you live in tension, that you embrace tension, and that you stay in it, sometimes even creating it. And so the question that I have is, why do we want to remove all the tension? It seems like nice guys or externally referenced guys always have to pull the plug on the tension. Pull a plug, that's kind of a metaphor that I have. Imagine the bathtub filling with tension, and we want to do everything we can to pull the plug, to drain it, to reduce it, to get out of it. And we do everything we can to remove it. And so the big question, that's what I want you to ask, why do you want to remove tension? Why is it a difficult or uncomfortable thing to you? And there's a lot of things under the surface. If we live as a nice guy, we want people to like us. We want people to appreciate us. We want people to approve of us. And so if we create tension, and if we create this stress between the relationship and kind of this latent undercurrent of strain going on, then people might not like us, or it might move us toward conflict. And tension is kind of a moment before conflict. It's that moment between when two armies are facing each other, or something like that. You see that in the old movies with the old type of warfare, where there's just this massive amount of tension before something happens. And so in conflict, the nice guy is very conflict averse, because conflict would mean that somebody wouldn't like me and something would go on and I wouldn't be appreciated. It's because I have a lot of fear. And we'll talk a little bit more about the things that we do fear. But the whole idea of asking yourself, why do I want to remove the tension, is a really powerful question when I want to stay in the tension. So actually asking that question creates tension. And so the thing I want you to be able to move toward is to be able to create tension in your life, create it in your relationships, and begin to play with it. And so I call this the competency, a solid man competency to live in tension, is actually kind of a thing where you would become good at it. You'd become competent at creating it, competent at playing with it, competent at increasing it and lowering it and letting it stay, kind of letting it hold it in the relationship and holding it and increasing it and watching it and experiencing it and enjoying it. So the thing about it is, tension's impossible to get rid of, even if you do everything you can to pull the plug. You know, we might throw in a humor thing, or we might say I'm sorry, or we might do some other things like that. Every one of us have our own little technique or coping mechanism to reduce the tension. But when it really comes down to it, it's impossible to get rid of, because that tension still stays there. It still goes into some other form. And so the thing I want you to do is just practice staying in it, practice creating it. The other category about this is that women love tension, and holding tension is a very, very attractive thing to a woman, because it really shows that you have confidence. And women just love this. Now, Dr. Glover wrote his next book that he wrote after No More Mr. Nice Guy. It was fairly recently, and it was about PET. He calls that positive emotional tension, and how to keep that going and increasing it in your life and in your relationship with women. So that would be a good book to look at as far as how to create and move with tension, and how women love that. Now, we love it as well. You think about any good movie or any movie that has the hero's journey in it, there's always tension. That's why it's a good story. You don't know how this is going to turn out. You don't know what's going to happen next. And then when the hero comes through, it's like, that's the tension. That's why we love it. We love tension. We love those stories. And so tension is a really good thing. Even conflict is a good thing. We just got to learn how to do it in a very, very healthy fashion, or positive, like Glover talks about. So this next category that I'm going to talk about is called differentiation. And the reason why I'm adding this into the tension thing, because differentiation is actually you being you in your own life. And it's you standing on your own two feet. And when you're a differentiated individual, you actually create tension whether you want to or not, because you're going to have your opinions, you're going to have your wants and needs, and you're going to speak clearly, you're going to stand up for what's right and wrong, you're going to be a man who is whole and complete within yourself. That's differentiation. You're going to be able to, in your relationship, say something like, I don't need you, I want you, but I don't need you. Now, the thing about that statement, that I don't need you, it doesn't feel like a very romantic statement, and it probably wouldn't do really well in a chick flick. But the fact is that when you say, I don't need you, that's actually very, very healthy. And chick flicks and the mythology of relationships that chick flicks do, or rom-coms, what they do is they really create a horrible version of relationship. They create a thing called codependency. Codependency is the opposite of differentiation. Codependency means I need you. I need to have you in your life. I need you to complete me. So the whole thing out of Jerry Maguire, you complete me, it's a pile of BS. That's a horrible way to do a relationship. And so when you stand on your own two feet, or when both of you stand on your own two feet and are differentiated, that actually has the potential to create a really strong relationship. And so you don't need someone else to validate your being or your character or yourself. And that's a really, really significant thing. When you become internally validated, internally strong, have a solid sense of self, you're going to move toward differentiation. And that's a really important thing. So the two differentiation questions are, who am I? And if you can answer who am I and really have a strong sense of confidence in that, that's that internally validated self, that's the first thing that you really want to do to become differentiated. The second one is, what do I want? And this is being able to ask the question, what do I want, and actually be able to answer it. Most nice guys don't even know what they want because they've been too busy thinking about, what does everybody else want? What does everybody else expect? But when you're able to ask, what do I want, I mean, answer it, and actually be assertive to be able to get what you want, that creates tension. And so assertiveness is essentially just saying, this is what I want, here's where I want to go. And that's assertiveness and confidence are two really huge categories of differentiation. And just being you creates tension. Just being you actually creates what's called exposure therapy. And so you're going to expose the people around you, the people that you love, to things that actually are uncomfortable, that are tension, that sometimes even makes them face their fears. But all that means is they move toward more health, more growth. And that's a really important thing. It might make people uncomfortable that you are you and you have opinions, you know who you are, you know what you want, you speak clearly about those things. That creates tension. It also creates the ability for everybody else to grow up as well as yourself. So it's a really good thing. The fears that are kind of under the differentiation, or back to the whole thing of, what am I afraid of, or why do I pull the plug on tension? Usually we're afraid of, if I stand up and be me, then I won't be good enough, or I won't be acceptable, I might be rejected. And the two big categories, two greatest fears that people have, the first one is that I would be abandoned. I might be left out, I might be rejected, shunned, I might end up alone and by myself. And for a child, this is one of the greatest traumas that a kid might experience. It's really, really tough for a kid. But abandonment for an adult man who stands on his own two feet shouldn't be scary. Sure, it's not okay, or it's not happy, it's not fun to be rejected. It is a difficult thing to be alone, but you know what? You're going to be okay. You're going to be able to take care of yourself. You're going to be able to do just fine. You'll be able to rebuild other relationships. And that's a really powerful thing, to stand on your own two feet. I'm not afraid of abandonment. Therefore, I can be myself and have my own opinions or say what I want. The second category that we fear is called absorption. And this is where I am absorbed into another relationship or into a system. And a lot of times you'll see guys that they'll get married or they'll start dating a girl and they lose their sense of self. They lose what they love to do. They lose their opinions. They lose their friendships. They get absorbed. They get sucked into that system and she kind of controls them. She pulls them in. A lot of us come from family of origins where that's kind of the thing, where we lost our sense of self and we had to carry a certain role in our life. We had to be the good kid. We had to be the lost child. We had to be the golden boy. We had to be the clown. We had to be the scapegoat, all kinds of different things. I had to be that way. I lost my sense of self in this system. And in order for me to get through life, I had to be a certain way and not be myself. This is actually, we're talking about fear. The absorption actually is a really huge category when it comes to different, the horror movies. The worst one is Aliens. Aliens, the later couple Aliens movies, you might remember there was this back being and this body that just sucked up the people. And you'd see their faces and their bodies in this goo, in this blob, and you'd see that they were absorbed into the intelligence or whatever of this being. And the people were lost, but their person was actually in their, their neurosystem was sucked into this being, literally. And that's a really, really scary thing. I mean, you see it and you go, oh my gosh, that's horrible. But that's actually the way a lot of us have experienced our family of origin, where we lost ourselves. And so getting back into that, and that's why it's such a horror thing. This is the Borg in the Star Trek The Next Generation, where resistance is futile, and this cube of a spaceship would go around absorbing different, they called it assimilating, assimilating, and resistance was futile, different cultures and planets, and they'd get all the people and they would absorb them into the Borg, where the people would lose their identity, they would lose their name, and they would get some kind of designation like 3 out of 5 or whatever like that. But that's our greatest fears we have, abandonment or absorption. And these are why I'm afraid of being myself. If I stand up and be me, I might face this. But being differentiated makes it to where I'm not going to be absorbed. I know who I am. I'm not going to lose myself. I'm going to have opinions. I'm going to stand up for myself. I'm not going to be sucked into a system and lose myself. I'm going to be me. So that's differentiation, and that's a really, really powerful part of creating tension. So all I'm saying is creating tension, you don't even have to do anything. Just be you, and you will create tension. That's a really, really big deal. Next category I have is do conflict well. And like I said, tension kind of leads toward conflict, and I'm saying conflict is a very, very healthy part of a very, very healthy relationship. If you do conflict well, you're going to do great. And all conflict, doing it well, is just saying what you want, saying what you need, being very overt about those things, asking for help, using your voice, saying this is what I want, this is what I need. Your voice is very, very powerful. It's a really powerful part of you. It would be standing up for yourself, standing up for what's right. It's having a really strong sense of justice, being able to say, no, this is not okay, whether it's about you or whether it's about your culture and something happening to someone else. Standing up and saying, this is not okay, and having a strong sense of justice is a really significant way of doing conflict. Setting good boundaries is another way. Now, a boundary is just the line between appropriate and inappropriate behavior. It's between this is healthy behavior, this is unhealthy, this is acceptable, this is unacceptable. And so setting boundaries is being able to say, here's the line in my life. If you cross this boundary, there will be consequences. Even if you stay on the good side of it, there's consequences there as well, the good consequences. That's a really significant part of this, is you will have consequence. You're going to lose. I'm not going to be present for you. I'm not going to give you attention. I will stand up and I'll speak against it and say, no, this is not okay. That might be a consequence as well. But having good boundaries is a really powerful part of doing conflict well. You'll find that in any, like anybody that struggles with any addiction. Setting boundaries, having good boundaries is a really powerful part of that, whether you're the family that has the addictive person or you are the addictive person. Setting boundaries, learning about boundaries, and holding them and having good consequences is a really significant part of getting healthy and defeating your addiction. It's a big deal. The other way to do conflict well is just getting good, becoming competent at saying no. And giving people who need it a healthy dose of vitamin N. Vitamin N, no, that's all it is. People need it, and people don't get that enough. There's so many people out there who feel entitled or feel like they deserve this or that, and they just need a dose of vitamin N. No, that's not okay. Or no, you're not going to get that. Especially if I don't want to provide that, I need to be able to say no. I'm not going to help you move this weekend. I have something else going on that's better. It's what I want to do. And so it's really good. Often we have the idea of the yes man, the pleaser mode as our default, where we say yes first. Start to think about how do I actually say no as my default. You can always come back and say, maybe I will do that. But start practicing saying no first as your default. It's just a good way to do conflict well. And you're going to find that whenever you say no, people usually respect it, even though it creates a little bit of tension. And so saying no actually is a really significant part of building attention as well. That's a good one. The next thing is holding others accountable. And this is a really powerful way to build tension. And if you'll know the whole idea of the beef, it's what's for dinner voice. You know, my favorite one that did that was Sam Elliott. And Sam Elliott's kind of got the third best voice in the universe behind James Earl Jones and Morgan Freeman. But I think Sam Elliott did great. He just said, beef, it's what's for dinner. He said it as a matter of fact. Beef, it's what's for dinner. And that's the voice, the tone that I want you to have when you hold people accountable. That's not okay with me. Or this is not right. Or you will not treat me like this. Or just plain saying no. No. You don't have to yell. You don't have to escalate. You don't have to say it in some crazy way. Just use beef, it's what's for dinner. No, that's not all right with me. And we got to do this. We got to hold people accountable. We have to set boundaries because we are training others to treat you well. And that's what we do. We've been training people our whole lives how to treat us. And so setting boundaries, saying no, standing up for yourself, using accountability, saying, no, this isn't okay for you to do this, is a really powerful part of creating tension. So when you give consequence, you create tension. And when you set a boundary, you create tension. So holding people accountable is a very, very significant part of this. And that really goes right next to the competency number three, which was ownership or responsibility. And it's important for you to expect that other people in your life would take ownership and responsibility of their behavior as well. So that's the fifth solid man competency, is living in tension or embracing tension. And I want you to really get better at this and start thinking about how do you actually create it. So just practice it with your spouse, practice it with a friend, practice it with work, with your kids, and just kind of practice staying in it and just holding tension just for a moment or for, you know, however long you feel like you want to. This is a really powerful part of being a really strong, solid man. So as always, stay solid, my friends.